Mutto at Midnight with your host, Mutto Sasquatch. Mutto is a shaman who works with the written and spoken word. He has played his flute, offers sacred smoke in the four directions. Please join Mutto in sacred ceremony. And now, Mutto at Midnight.
Good evening, friends and neighbors. My name is Mutto Sasquatch, and this is my radio program, Mutto at Midnight. Thank you once again for joining me. You've come on a very special night, as they say. They're all special nights, of course. But this is the night I draw the final card in my Shaman Tarot spread. If you're listening for the first time, I'm trying to teach myself how to do tarot. And in true broadcasting fashion, I've been dragging the thing out by drawing one card every week since the beginning of the year, and now I've gotten to number 8, which is going to be the last card that I draw. I'm going to spend some time today and talk a little bit more about the spread that I've chosen and how it folds into my Nemanja spiritual doodads here. I was going to, Chief Iggy is that's the voice you hear in my introduction every week, and he was, of course, kind enough to record that for me. He mentions about the sacred smoke, and I do that. I offer sacred smoke, whatever, usually it's incense. Sometimes it's other things, but usually it's incense that we offer to the four directions, beginning in the west, and then the north, the east, and the south. And this is the fashion of the Nemanja. Other Native American traditions do it differently. But I find that I'm out of incense. I've managed to run out of incense, much like a few weeks ago. I was at Kentucky Fried Chicken, and they had run out of chicken. And one wonders how that happens. How does Kentucky Fried Chicken run out of chicken? How does Dairy Queen run out of ice cream? And how does a shaman run out of incense? Well, I don't know, but I did. So I broke into a package that I have, some stuff that I had brought back from Great Council a couple of years ago. And I opened it up, and as I was expecting, there was some incense in there. And I lit it up, and I offered it to the four directions, and blew it out in the standard fashion. And what usually happens is that the incense starts to produce smoke. But I noticed that this particular piece of incense seemed to act and look, once I looked more closely, more like a candle than a piece of incense. And I think that's really what it is. So I'm still out of incense. I'm going to have to take a trip up to Waterbeds and Stuff, my local source for all things oddly spiritual. I'm still in the running out there, by the way. If you've listened in the past, you know that I put out an application out there. Obviously need some more work, and that's an odd way to say it. I do need, but it's true. I do need some more work. But then that sounds like, in a spiritual sense, I also need some more work, which of course we always do. I need more hours of work. I need more money coming in. That's what it is. And I noticed, you know, I went to Waterbeds and Stuff, and which, if you're not familiar with, it's a waterbed store, a bedding store, but it also has a sort of a novelty store on sort of, they call it the stuff side. You have the bed side, the waterbed side, and they have the stuff side. This is the stuff side, and they have had a sign up saying they had a sales position available in the stuff side. And while I'm not terribly excited about doing sales or retail, I did think that this might be a very fun place to work. There were adults working there, and they seemed to be having a good time. So I put in my application, and what I was told was that the manager would keep the application process open for a time. Then he would take down the sign, and he would then take out all of the applications he had and see where he was. It's been about 2 weeks since that happened. I figure, well, you know, I must be out. You know, I'm not probably the most natural candidate for this sort of job. You know, I've got a master's degree. But anyway, I don't feel that I'm superior to people who do retail. I just feel I perhaps I have more to offer. But then in this particular retail situation, I think might be a lot of fun to do to deal in these objects that I find so fascinating. And by the way, I just got one of those long, thin, coffin-y looking boxes that you put your incense in, and I haven't had a chance to use it yet. I got it for my birthday, and didn't have a chance to use it today because I don't have incense. I don't think it would work very well with a candle, so next time. Anyway, what I'd started to say a long time ago was, I thought, 2 weeks had gone by, and I figured, well, that's it. I'm not gonna be considered for that position, and that's fine. But then I went by today, actually yesterday, and the sign is still in the window. So evidently he hasn't stopped taking applications. The manager hasn't. And so I'm still in it. So cross your fingers, say some prayers. I'll talk to Spirit and maybe we can get this happening. One of my neighbors is taking a shower. You might be able to hear it. My neighbors, I thought they had gone. I had not heard them rustling upstairs for about a week. And my resident manager here was pounding on the door, and it's hard for me to... I answered it because you can't really... the two doors, my neighbors and I, are so close together, it's hard to tell whose door is being pounded on. So I went and answered, and it was my resident manager, and he was at the other door, and he asked me if I had seen my neighbors. I told him, I haven't really... Haven't noticed any sign of them for about a week. And he said, okay, thank you. He didn't ask me to look out for them. He didn't ask me to report on them or anything like that. Well, here just a couple days ago, they're back. Somebody's back. Somebody's up there and producing a similar sound pattern. They're very... I don't know. Maybe I would do this too because I don't know what the exact sound response of the floor is, but it seems to me like they're stamping on the floor. Pretty very. Whoever's up there, somebody up there has a very heavy step because you can hear them and bump, 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 and the ceiling fixtures, the lamps, or not lamps, what you would call them, but whatever, the light fixtures on my ceiling kind of rattle in a alarming way whenever anybody walks by on top of us. And then, of course, whenever any water is used, there's quite a wonderful rush, as if I'm in Titanic or the Poseidon Adventure. I don't know if you could hear it or not, but I sure could. But anyway, we're going to press on, because that's what we do, like good Americans. We're just going to fight through it. See, there it goes again. There are advantages to lower floor living, and there are disadvantages to lower floor living. I mean, for example, if they were ever to stop up their sink and forget about it, all of their water would land in this apartment here somehow. So it's I don't know that I've ever had anyone living above me, because always I had. Well, obviously when I was in college and you live in the sardine can there, somebody's above you. But no, I can't. Even all the times I've lived in apartments, I've usually had the townhouse style where you have, up and down, you got like both floors. I believe this is the first time I have had an upstairs neighbor. So we'll look for that. We'll chalk that up to experience. I mean, there haven't been any screaming arguments yet, and I've dealt with that before in apartments. So we'll just fingers crossed, keep a good thought, and there won't be anything any worse than a lot of loud stepping. But anyway, I want to get into this tarot layout and how it's going to map onto the medicine wheel. Now, I had a sit down with Chief Iggy. Earlier went to his son's the soccer camp that his son runs and he helps out, and then Iggy and his wife Susie and I had some pizza at a local eatery, and I showed them what I'm about to speak to you about, just to make sure I wasn't I don't want to be disrespectful in the way I use or speak about any of these things. There's no disrespect intended. I'm just sort of laying my own spirituality, my own identity, I guess, onto these symbols that the Nemenha use. And you know, my understanding is that that's what Nemenha is about, that people can come and bring their own modalities and symbols and so forth, and that's a perfectly legitimate, I guess, so long as I don't even know that there's a requirement, as you know, so long as we're supposed to know how the Nemenha medicine wheel works and so forth, but you know, we're permitted to interpret that with our own, you know, make it I guess, sort of fit more with our own modality. So I guess I felt it was best to ask. So I did, and Chithiki gave me the green light, so here I am. Now, where we're at, as I said, is we pulled, I have this tarot deck called a Shaman Tarot deck. It's not a standard tarot deck, but it has the same number of cards in it. I think it's 14 in each suit, and then 23 in the major arcana. And if we add that, furiously, what is that? I was going to say 75. That doesn't sound right. Well, anyway, there's one card in the Shaman Tarot for every card in the I don't want to call it standard tarot or original tarot, the tarot that came to us from Eastern Europe, which in turn came from the Middle East. The traditional tarot, let's use that. It's a one-for-one correspondence with the traditional tarot. And I wanted to... Chithiki had been encouraging me to use... He'd given me the deck. And so it was encouraging me in general to do more stuff with readings and open up that sort of pathway for myself. So I've worked up this thing where that sort of works into my medicine wheel. What I do? Okay, there it is. I got my stuff laid out here. It's on the bed. Actually, I was going to do it in my shrine room, which is the front room of my three-room apartment, three and a half if you count the bathroom. But I hurt my back yesterday cleaning up some stuff, bending down too long, and so I can't get down on the floor without a whole lot of rigmarole. So I've laid the stuff out on my bed, and I'm sitting on my metal desk chair, and I'm just going to do it here for you. I have, first of all, I'm going to put out this sort of a cloth. Well, it is a cloth. It's not sort of a cloth. It is a cloth that lies underneath this stuff. It, I don't know what to call it. Would you call this, I don't want to call it a handkerchief. I want to call it maybe a scarf. Or I'm not sure, but it's. I got it at an OSU hockey game, and it was a Veterans Appreciation Night, and so it's done in camouflage sort of motif, but the camouflage is in the colors of the university. I think I just said Ohio State, so I'll go with it. It's scarlet and gray, and so you know, I lay that out so I have something as like put everything it underlies, and it represents my connection to that state, a place, to that university, a place that I consider to be my home in many ways. You know, I've earned 2 degrees there. I've worked there. I still work there now. It's a place that holds an important spot in my life. So I represent that in my medicine wheel with this sort of symbolic cloth. And now I'm going to put the hoop down. And I carry my hoop in this little sort of tobacco bag, I guess. It's with Native American designs that was given to me by a friend, actually a recovery friend. And in that, I carry a bracelet made of glass beads of various colors. And it's, to me, the way people in the world could live together if they would take the trouble to try. It's sort of a cynical message of hope there. But it's in a circle, and anything that's in the shape of a circle can represent the hoop, the medicine wheel. So I'm going to put that right in the middle. Now, I have this sort of, I don't know what you call this. It's a wooden container that I picked up when I was in Haiti. And I keep some of my sort of spiritual objects in here. Things that I'm going to use maybe to represent things on the medicine wheel. And I could use more than one, like maybe put one at each of the points, but because I don't want to... I also seem to be a little bit short of stuff here. I must have pulled some stuff out for an earlier demonstration and not put it back. So I'm going to have to investigate, see what happened there. But in the meantime, I got some stuff in here. I'll pick out this obsidian. It's a black stone with sort of gray inclusions. Polished stone. I think I picked this up at the Ohio State Fair at some point. I like it. It's sort of duality. You know, the blackness and then the grayness spread through it. And I feel that represents my soul, at least at certain times. It's very that there's darkness with light, muted light, but light nonetheless, sort of spread through it. So I'll just take that and put it in the center of the hoop, just for kicks and giggles. So that's set. Now, we're going to start with these cards. And what I did, as I'd said before, was draw eight cards. And so here's the first one. The first card I drew was the Ten of Bones. And what I'm going to do, I haven't done this work yet. I'm going to do it and report out next week. But I'm going to have, for each card, I'm going to have three pieces of information. I'm going to have the interpretation given to me by the guy who created the Shaman Tarot deck. I'm going to have the equivalent interpretation of the from the traditional tarot. And I'm going to have information from the position on the medicine wheel, which I'm going to explain here in a minute. And then I'm going to have whatever comes from the heart of Mudtoe. So all four of those things will add into this reading. And this reading is for me, by the way. This is for Mudtoe and the path I'm going to be following in the going on into this year. So the first card, I said, was the Ten of Bones. And the Ten of Bones is all about necessary sacrifice and also can stand for intuitions. Now that's going to set at the west door. I'm putting the card down right at the west door of my little hoop. And as the west door is the Sikh's Council door. So we'll when I go to start studying this week, I'm going to see what I can divine from that juxtaposition of information. It's about necessary sacrifice, and it's at the west door. So the second card is the Six of Drums, which is about inner harmony. And we're going to put that at the north door, which is heavenly beings and spirits. Third card, Two of Drums, which is about listening and times when silence is necessary. And that goes at the east door, which is the flying, the eagle door, sees far door. Whew, supposed to know this stuff. Okay, card number four, the Three of Drums, evolution of a stalled situation. This really hit me hard when I pulled it. I mean, because I don't know, I am in one hell of a stalled situation. Evolution of a stalled situation or opportunity, I've got this written, I've got opportunity deadlines written down. I don't know if that's supposed to be two separate things or if they go together, as in the deadline for an opportunity. Or whether it's about opportunity and it's also about deadlines. But in any case, I guess when it's a young girl sitting on a rock with lobsters surrounding her, it's kind of neat. I like the art that's on these cards, and that's another piece of information that could go into the interpretation as well. So now I have a card at each door, but I still have four cards left. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to put another card at each door. So we're going to have an inner hoop and an outer hoop. And what we'll also have when this is done is a cross, which represents the spirituality of the spirituality that I was born into was Christianity. So that symbol sits in this medicine wheel in this tarot layout as well. So the fifth card, the first one that's on the outer hoop, is a major arcana card. Which is, I'll step back in just a second. The tarot deck and the deck of cards that's used for playing games have the same origin. So that's where you have the game playing, the poker deck and all that have the four suits. Tarot deck also has four suits. When people started using tarot cards for divination, for occult purposes, they added another set of cards called the Major Arcana, which represents certain occult symbolisms. Death is one of those, because the famous death card is one of those sort of things that's absolutes that come from spiritual, divination or the occult. So that's the difference between the Major Arcana and the other. And this is my first Major Arcana card, and it's number 10. And in the spiritual, or the shaman tarot, it's the drum of the spirits, beginning of a new cycle, call of destiny, and voice of the gods. So it's sort of that thing that comes, that voiceover narration in the movie that comes and gives you all the information. That's what this is all about. And it's also sitting, it's the second card sitting at the west door, the Sikh's council door, sitting on the outside. Now, at some point, I'm going to have to decide what if any, information we're getting from a card being in the inner hoop versus the outer hoop. And what does that... does it make one card stronger, one card weaker? Does it make one card different? And that's another thing. And I have ignored this because I don't want to make my life difficult. In traditional tarot, cards mean something different if they come out of the deck upside down. Now, not everybody does that. And I'm not going to, at least not until I learn a lot more about it. So it's just the cards are just always what they are. The position and the way I'm using them is not going to make any difference. So going to number 6, the 8 of Bows, which is about partial healing, potential for profound change. I'm reading from my notes, by the way. Need to overcome, it looks like stocks. Can I overcome blocks? That's it. Need to overcome blocks. That's another big one for me, overcoming blocks. And need to overcome blocks set for ourselves. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, we can. I have a few of those. So that goes at the north door with spirits and heavenly beings and spirits. Okay, number 7. This is the one we drew last week. Is the King of Stones. And he represents, I like him because he's a very old gentleman and he's sitting on the back of a very old, very grand tortoise. So they're not moving along very fast, but they're moving along. And he's got unorthodox ideas, and the card also represents negotiations. So that goes at the east door. Oops, and that's, well, that's all right. It's going off of the cloth isn't quite big enough to hold all this stuff. So, but it's not touching the ground. It's touching the tarot book, actually. So I think that's okay. And now, Here's the new information. If you're a frequent listener to the show, you've already heard everything I've just talked about for the past, 22 minutes now. This is new information. This is the 8th and final card, the new card for today. It completes this this medicine wheel / shaman tarot layout. Last piece of the puzzle. And this is number 12 from the Major Arcana, and I have to look. See, this is you can tell how good I am at this stuff. I still have to look in the instruction book. That's how you tell you that the very smooth tarot operators are the ones who can repeat this stuff from memory. Sometimes I wonder, are they really repeating it back correctly, or are they just making shit up? I would have to get to where I knew it well enough to know whether what was coming at me, because you wouldn't know, right? How do you know? You don't have a book and you're not following along. Number 12 is initiation. The sacrifice of a part of oneself in favor of the world of spirits. Necessary moments of pause. We had that before. Reflection, a new vision of things. We had a couple of cards that are very similar. This is actually a rather creepy graphic here. You got three people in native dress, and actually they are, it looks like, ceremonied up, too. And they're around a fire and playing, looks like one gentleman is playing, has a flute, and there's some other musicking going on. And behind them, sort of in the distance, on a bare tree, is somebody tied up by their feet and hanging upside down. Now, is he being what's the word? What they do in fraternities and sororities? Hazed? Is he being hazed? Is this a spiritual haze? Is this some sort of trial or test? What's going on? Because they don't seem terribly concerned about him. He's there in the back, and he's intentionally tied up. It's dark, and there is a blood moon behind them, with maybe just a sliver. So it's like an eclipse maybe going on. So that was all about, they said, about initiation, and there are some verbiage in that we've seen before. So that goes in its place at the south door, the looks within door. So we got at looks within, we have initiation, the sacrifice of a part of oneself in favor of the world of the spirits. Necessary moments of pause, reflection, a new vision of things, and that's sitting at looks within. That's interesting. It would seem like that would come from something like Sixth Council or maybe Heavenly Beings and Spirits. It seems like it would be better placed at any of the other doors except that one, but that's where it is. So I have to figure out what that means. Now let me look, because I have this new tarot book. I just got it. I went and got a different tarot book because the one I had before came from the library. And so there's always this... always is the threat that I was going to have to give it back and then I wasn't going to have anything anymore. Let's see if I can find the major arcana in here, you know? What I might have done is looked at the table of contents. There's a wands, twos, wands, judgment. Okay, here we go. We're getting to 12. We're getting there. Number 12 is... Aha! See, now this shows us where we're at. Number 12 in the traditional tarot is the Hanged Man. And in the card, they're showing two different versions of the card, and it's got a guy hanged upside down. And the text says, "The wheel has turned and all is balanced with justice, but the fool's journey has nowhere to go next. All avenues are exhausted, hence we arrive at the lone Hanged Man, an image of a man stuck, suspended upside down, with a halo of light around his head. He is on a similar but higher plane than the hermit, for the Hanged Man is related to spiritual awareness, surrender, and release, ruled by Neptune." Oh, yeah, I hadn't even seen this. They've brought in some astrology into this one, so I'll be able to hobnob with Mr. Matheny, our resident astrologer. "Ruled by Neptune, god of the ocean, the Hanged Man grapples with illusions and upsets." Divinatory meaning, so this is kind of like the way they train priests and reverends. Here's the stuff that the religious guy needs to know. Now here's the stuff that you tell the guy out in the pews. You don't tell the guy out in the pews everything. You just tell him this sort of boiled down version. And here's the divinatory meaning. This is what you tell the person you're giving a reading to. "You have reached a dead end, a cul-de-sac, and are facing a brick wall. Now is the time to turn and create a new path. There are no paths leading from the Hanged Man. A completely new way of life is required. Surrender." That's scary. And the next card in the number 13 of the Major Arcana is Death. So I hope proximity doesn't, play a role here. And I know death doesn't necessarily mean death. It means change. But anyway, so that's where we're at. And I'm not, again, I need to make, study Ishigo, go through what both of my resources, the Shaman Tarot and the Traditional Tarot, has to say about each of these cards. And, throw the information about the position in there. Put it all in my magnificent 24 jewel brain or whatever it is. I can't remember what the number is. There's something you used to measure the power of a watch in joules, and I can't remember what the maximum was. For some reason, I'm thinking it was 24, but I can't remember. Then, of course, you know, today, someone then would have made a 26, and then someone else would have made a 28. My brother is getting into vinyl, you know, vinyl records, and they advertise the quality of the new vinyl records as the weight of the records. 180-gram record. Now, this is a 210-gram record. You know, being heavier is, I guess, better, which it might be. I mean, you remember the big issue about vinyl when I was listening to vinyl back in the day was the records would warp. They get scratched. That was a thing too. But that came mostly from abuse or from not knowing how to handle them. Records would just get warped because they get warped because they were thin pieces of pliable material, and they could come to you warped, or they could get warped over time, particularly if they were stored in a warmer place or something like that. So I guess it would be interesting to see what is. I mean, is there a standard for how is 210 grams better for warpage than 180? Or maybe it's something completely different that I don't even know about. Something I can't pull up from my record listening days. It was cool though because I got him a vinyl record for Christmas and he really liked it. And I don't know that. I can't remember a time when my brother, over the 41 years my brother and I have been together, that he liked something that I got him for Christmas. I mean, he appreciated it. You know, we're just not sort of on the same wavelength. So he got it. You know, thank you. And something that he was. I don't think I'd ever gotten him anything he was excited about. But this one he liked, and it was Miles Davis and sort of an all-star band, Thelonious Monk and other people were involved. It was a recording that's not heard very much anymore, and they re-released it on vinyl because that's where they're selling the vinyl is sort of these niche markets of people who are very very into a certain kind of music you can buy it all and that's it. So they give it to you on another media, and it gives you an excuse to buy more of it. Buy more now. So it's so nice to see him happy about it. And then what happened, this could be his decision, or it could just be my energy coming back at me, or it could just be karma, or it could just be blind luck. But for my birthday, he got me a present that I really liked. And I think that's the first time that's ever happened. Usually he just got me a Best Buy gift card, which is fine. But he picked this out, and it was it's the DVDs of all of the original Star Trek episodes. And it's the version where they've gone in and fixed them up. You know? And I do like the way they fixed them up because they didn't go too far. They left the look of the originals, you know, sort of still a 60s TV show look, even the new effects are. I mean, the places where you get that was really cheesy, and you know, you can see there was a model ship and or things that's graphics on the bridge or whatever that look, you know, crap. They like the chronometer is like a physical dial, you know, which, you know, obviously it wouldn't be in the 23rd century, so they replaced it with a digital representation. I think the biggest one's probably episode called The Doomsday Machine, where they did the most, because there was lots of ships, different ships flying around, and including one that was actually a plastic model that they got from the store because they couldn't afford to build another ship. Well, I mean, digitally they're able to provide that. So that was, I'd seen those collections so often, and I'd wanted to get them, but it was just not. It just didn't have the financial wherewithal to do it. And now the price has come down far enough, and of course my brother has steady work and I don't, that he was able to pick that up for me. And man, I don't think either of us really needs to get the other one a gift. anymore. I think we've I don't know if we can top these, and I don't know if I want to get into trying. You know, because I've been in the store where I bought that record, saying, well, "What could I get him for the next one?" And, oh, no, I don't want to get into that. I don't want to get into trying to top it. I just we'll be happy with where we are and that we've come to this point. Okay, I think I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up. I have to I'll leave this out here for a few minutes and this layout and take some notes. And I'll put it all away. I don't think I'll put the cards back in the deck yet because I may need to make some observations on the pictures. But I have to get everything off my bed, obviously, and then get to work on it and have lots of amazing insights to share with you next week. Thanks once again for joining us. This is the withinsightsradio.com channel of Blog Talk Radio, by the way. And let me move my Audacity out of the way so I can... How am I ever going to move my Audacity out of the way? I'm trying to open up this little piece of information that I... Okay. Just so I can tell you a little bit about withinsightsradio.com, it is your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. We cover a wide variety of topics, including metaphysics, natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, talk radio, and much more. We can add astrology to that. Withinsightsradio.com is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are always greatly appreciated. You can check us out. Our flagship show is Holistic Metaphysical Forum and Intuitive Readings with Iggy Garcia and David Two Crows. And I believe Adriana has also joined that cast. And that happens Mondays at 7 p.m. There's a Lunchtime Wisdom Cafe on Tuesdays at noon. And then on Wednesdays, there's just a variety of different hosts that sort of interchange during the week. And unfortunately, they don't all go on at the same time. So you kind of have to check the upcoming episodes to see who's coming up when. But you can also catch Mark Matheny, Mark the Rabbit Hole, his astrology-based show on Fridays at noon. And then here's this one, Mud Toe at Midnight, Fridays or Saturdays, depending on how you look at it. It's either the last thing that happens on Friday or the first thing that happens on Saturday. And you see me here every week. This is pretty much where you'll find me, you know. Don't have a girlfriend, so I do a midnight radio show. Thanks again for joining me. I'll keep you up to date on everything, including the old job search. But, you know, whatever happens with the job search, I'm still going to be here. So don't you worry about that. Mudjo's not going anywhere. Because I know there are dozens of you out there who depend on hearing me every week. That's it. I'm done. Talk to you next week. Maybe. Audacity's tricking me here. Okay, try it again. Hold on.